It's time for Talk of the Town with Jeremy Salemson. Jeremy visits with guests who are doing good work in our community, giving back, and who have a great story to tell. Now, here's Jeremy.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Talk of the Town right here on 97.9 The Hill, WCHL. I'm Jeremy Salemson, your host, and we are thrilled to welcome to the studio this week Judge Jay Bryan from Jay Bryan Consulting and Mediation and Olivia Cole from UNC Horizons.
Thank you.
Welcome both to the show.
Good to be here.
It's great to have you. Judge Bryan, it's an honor to have you, certainly, as well, all the great work that you've done. For our listeners, as you may remember, we spoke to the leadership team at UNC Horizons a few weeks ago, talking about some of the exemplary work that they're doing here in the community, helping women with substance abuse issues. And so for today, this is an extension of that conversation, if you will. And we're focusing on the legal elements that many women are facing as it pertains to treatment and just the life issues that go along with all of that. And so Judge Bryan is going to share some of his insights and guidance as well. And we're going to hear from Olivia giving some anecdotal perspective also as well. So we're thrilled to have you both here as well. Judge Bryan, if we will, I'd love to start with you. Talk to us a little bit about your professional background in terms of the retired legal piece, in terms of how did you arrive into today's world of consulting and mediation?
Well, thank you for having me, Jeremy. I was a mediator as a lawyer and certified by the Dispute Resolution Commission in North Carolina for Superior Court cases, family, and clerk of court. I served as a custody guardian ad litem as well. I became reactivated as a mediator after I retired as a judge in 2020. As a judge, I appeared and presided over recovery court and drug and family treatment court, which are two of the treatment courts in Orange County. So that's where I got acquainted with Horizons. And as far as consulting, I was on the Board of Aldermen for 10 years and dealt with a number of government issues. So I'm doing some consulting there as well as in courts. I was served on some committees that looked at court functioning and how to help court users.
Okay. So obviously the professional background gives you tremendous foundational elements to deal with this type of situation or these types of situations. Talk to us a bit about sort of your philosophy behind your coaching program and where do those influences come from?
I represented women in abuse and neglect courts and got to know Horizons and the people that work there as very compassionate, very experienced, and very knowledgeable. When I presided over drug treatment court, Horizons was providing services to people who are participants in that court. I got acquainted with the idea of a coaching through Dr. Jones because she had heard from women in group that their experiences in court themselves were not very satisfactory. They weren't listened to. They were treated in ways that weren't particularly respectful, and they felt that they couldn't have their story heard. Right. So we put together this program to help them feel empowered to represent and advocate for themselves in the court system. And the philosophy is basically to gently and safely encourage them to talk about what has happened to them in court matters or specific legal situations, and then look at options for trying to help them, resources in the community, and I can go through those at some point later.
Sure.
But and the general philosophy is sharing, caring, empowerment, and support for them as courageous people working to help themselves and their children.
Sure. Well, and I think, you know, you brought that up. These women are dealing with a number of issues, headwinds, if you will. And so the respect element, the guidance, the support that they receive from you and others in the courtroom, it's critical, in addition to the work that UNC Horizons is doing to get them through this difficult time as well, to continue that healing process all the way throughout. Typically, what are some of the barriers that women face when it comes to the recovery process? It's sort of the legal issue. You've got the treatment piece as well. But what are some of the other barriers that you are familiar with?
They can't afford an attorney, particularly in family cases. This lack of understanding of substance use disorder and effects of trauma and recovery process itself. There's stigma. around why are you putting drugs ahead of your children kind of thing,
right.
Lack of employment opportunities, lack of housing. And there's time pressures of the court system itself, which instead of taking the necessary time with them in court or as part of the court process, they're just not able to because there's not enough time. At least that's the perception. So transportation is another barrier.
Right. Because again, one thing that impressed me when I first had that conversation with UNC Horizons was really the holistic approach that the organization takes, right? Because it's not just about day one and it's not about the last day of treatment. It's about sort of the lifelong approach. And obviously the legal element of this, you can have a successful treatment program, but if there are some legal barriers, right, that you face with a lot of these things without the proper guidance or resources or education, right, then it's very difficult for them to continue on and to be successful with themselves, with their families as well. Housing is another piece of that as well, which I think we talked about at length on the previous show as well. So, Olivia, I just want to ask you a couple of questions in terms of sort of the anecdotal piece. What legal issues did you need help with specifically when first coming to Horizons?
For me personally, I was dealing with some specific child support needs, but what he ultimately was able to help me with was getting my license back, which was a huge barrier for me. I had, like he was mentioning before, I had some stigma issues in court. I wasn't able to afford an attorney, and he put me in touch with an attorney that gave me advice for free and was able to represent me to a point that I was heard. And at first, the judge didn't want to hear anything that I had to say. He wouldn't accept the letter that my case manager had given me. I wanted to have my story heard and get, I wanted to be heard in court.
Sure. Well, and that's important. I think having a voice, having representation, having that advocacy, if you will, right, is critical to the success for anyone, really, but specifically in these cases as well. So, Olivia, thank you for sharing that with us, and we'll be talking more with you about kind of your journey, if you will, in just a bit as well. We have to take our first commercial break. Okay, we'll be back with more of Judge Jay Bryan and Olivia as well in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Talk of the Town right here on 97.9 The Hill, WCHL.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, a look at philanthropy, goodwill, and altruism right here in our community. Here's your host, Jeremy Salemson.
And we are back for our second section of the day. We are here with Judge Jay Bryan again and Olivia Cole from UNC Horizons and Judge Jay Bryan Consulting. Both of you, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So as we were discussing during the break and just before the initial break, education is a key component really of anything in life, but specifically in the courtroom and I would argue even in law school. So Judge Bryan, how much exposure, I guess, do you get in terms of the treatment and educational piece within law school dealing with issues like this?
Well, when I went to law school, it was a long time ago, but we didn't have any specific courses on drug treatment or substance use. Nowadays, I'm not quite sure, but because there are drug treatment courts, mental health courts, veterans courts, a variety of Native American courts, I'm sure there's more to help people understand how those courts work and why. I think it's crucial that there is that kind of education. In terms of judges, frankly, don't recall much education as well in terms of what the School of Government shares. Maybe a portion or a special, but not as far as the general education of judges. I don't recall that. My experience as a lawyer was I represented the women in abuse and neglect court who lost their children due to drug use. Basically, I didn't know very much about that particular. All I wanted to do was to try to get them the help. But as far as educating myself as a parent's attorney, it never was really required or suggested that I do that. So when I became a judge presiding over district court and treatment court, I was really lacking in information about how it all worked. And I had to learn it kind of on the fly or by attending conferences like the one that Dr. Jones put on in 2015 on trauma.
Okay.
And that course. I had already studied trauma, learned about it, knew about it, but her course and the way trauma was talked about in trauma-informed care, trauma-informed courtrooms was a turning point in terms of my approach to the people that came before me. So I would say education is important, but unless you're a judge in the treatment courts, you don't necessarily think about it, even though drug use, drug problems, all of that are in all the courts, family, criminal, traffic. It permeates all those courts. Certainly. It's just not the focus of the court. The focus of the court is get people in, get them out.
So how do we change that paradigm, right? I mean, obviously education within the court system is critical, but how do we get that specific education to those making the decisions and ultimately sort of change society's viewpoint, if you will, to ultimately help remove that stigma that exists today?
Well, I don't think it's easy in the current climate of in terms of money and let's say in law school where you decide to allocate what you teach. I think the same goes for a place called the School of Government, which is a wonderful teaching organization. What they choose to teach is more toward what is more likely for a judge to experience in their sessions. And so criminal, traffic, family law, right. Civil practice, those kinds of juvenile are the predominant ones. The treatment courts are not for everybody. And so if you're going to be in one, you're already interested in it. You're going to take the time to learn it. But if you're not and you're assigned to another court, you're not going to get exposed to
it. Not as likely. Are you seeing that paradigm shift at all based on the influences coming from you and others that are doing this great work within the court system?
Well, I'm not sure that I'm any more – I mean, I'm doing work as an adjunct to a program that's helping women, whether they're in the court system or not. I mean, so I'm not in the center of it as far as promoting policies that would advocate for it, I'm sorry to say. I'm not doing that.
No, it's an interesting question. Right. No, well, it is important, right? But and it's the work that you're doing is great, but I think, you know, the more people can learn and understand about that, and ideally if we can get some resources behind this to provide specific educational sure. platforms that ultimately this will help grow and people will begin to really embrace this idea in a much better way, in a much more efficient way.
Well, one thing too is that the research on drug treatment courts, and they're by anecdotal, they're the most researched courts apparently in the court systems.
Okay,
is that they do save money by addressing these issues up front for people so that they can live sustainable lives and not be dependent on the use of substances. And so the more we can think of it as, in fact, an economic benefit right. to the community as a whole. That's one way to look at it as being positive, besides saving lives of people.
Absolutely. Olivia, let's talk for a minute, if you will, about some of those specific legal issues in terms of how they impacted your life, okay? Difficulty with employment, housing, loss of benefits, that type of thing. Can you give us some specifics in terms of how that impacted you?
Yeah, if I can, let me just first say that I definitely experienced a lack of awareness and the compassion that, you know, from the legal system while I was in active addiction, that, you know, trauma, things that I experienced. It just goes to show that, you know, we're whenever in active recovery, okay, and let me say as a mother of two children, I'm working hard. Recovery is not easy. And to not be acknowledged of the work that I'm putting into this and to be given the chance at a better life it impacts me. It affects me. Sure. You know, I want to be a voice that's heard when it comes to this. So these legal issues and as far as the legal system, you know, treating me horribly because I'm an addict is horrific. Not having my license is definitely of obvious reasons. You know, I can't get to work. I can't take my children to school. Can't get them, you know, to and from activities. I can't work. You know, it was hard. And I did the work, and Judge Brian helped me get my license back. So for that, I'm grateful.
So was that the key component in your specific case, was the license issue?
Yes. I am in process of going back to child support court to receive child support from my children's father.
Okay.
That is something that is in the process of happening. So, but he also helped me with that.
Well, it's great news to hear that things are moving in the right direction. We do have to take our second commercial break. Okay, we'll be back with more of Judge Jay Bryan and Olivia Cole here in just a moment. You're listening to Talk of the Town, 97.9 The Hill.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, a look at philanthropy, goodwill, and altruism right here in our community. Here's your host, Jeremy Salemson.
And welcome back to Talk of the Town here on 97.9 The Hill, WCHL. It's Jeremy Salemson. We are back with Judge Jay Bryan and Olivia Cole. Welcome back, both of you. Thrilled to have you again. As we were discussing before the break, obviously education, sort of the shift, if you will, in the mindset and just understanding the trauma and understanding some of the other elements that go into dealing with treatment across the board. So critically important. Judge Jay Bryan, talk to us a bit about the type of techniques and tools that you have developed specifically for these women to use.
I say, I start with the initial conversation that I have with them, which where I basically use tone of voice, accessible words, listening, deep listening, walking in their shoes to establish a safe place for them to feel comfortable to talk with me and understand that their story is not going to be chronological, that they would just I deal with their story as it comes out, and then we talk about options. So Dr. Jones and I developed three to five page tips for them to use. And those cover preparation before appearing in court, kind of general where their mind is and how they think about it, that they sort of strengthen themselves and believe in themselves before going to court. They understand that people don't know anything about much about substance use or just don't assume that they do. And that they're there to actually advocate themselves to educate about substance use disorder. There's homework, preparing materials for court, negative drug screens, reports from their work in group and parenting and trips of horizons, and a statement to the judge that I can help them with if they're going to be doing that. And that is helpful because it gets them to tell their story. They don't have to use all of it. But it can reaffirm in them what they've done, what they've accomplished. So, we have tips for writing a statement to a judge as well.
And I would imagine, you know, giving them that framework then gives them that confidence, right? Because they've got a plan to work with, right? It's not that they're just thinking about all these different things that have happened to them and not sure which way to go, but they've got somebody behind them with Judge Bryan. And they've got this playbook, if you will, from which to work with. And that, again, helps not only the patient potentially, but also the court system as well, right? Because they can all sort of feed from that. Olivia, talk to us a bit about that in terms of how the specifics that Judge Bryan just mentioned helped you in terms of giving you a higher level of confidence as you were first involved in this process.
Yeah. When I first heard that I had to appear in court again, I was very nervous. I was actually facing jail time. So it was a process that I was not looking forward to. But as I spoke with Judge Bryan and the attorney that he referred me to, they definitely built my confidence. They gave me every tool that I needed to succeed, and which is what happened. So,
which is fantastic. There's a success story right there as well.
Yes.
Judge Bryan, in terms of sort of fine-tuning these things, are you always, you know, learning and bringing additional thoughts into this? And have you seen the success level with this type of framework and playbook continue to surpass even your expectations over time?
I would leave the idea of the success to the people who are the participants.
Yeah.
That they can judge that for themselves. We don't really do a lot of feedback on it. We do some. I would say yes. What's happening is that the cases change. And recently I've been dealing with people who are either facing a charge that's going to be served on them or they're trying to get out on bond and different criminal matters. I'm always looking for different resources. Among them are Central Law School. Campbell provides a service for helping with custody cases, legal aid. I look to lawyers who may be able to give a reduced fee. There's a woman in Orange County who helps with license restoration and getting fines paid if women can't pay them because they haven't been employed. So the child service – I mean, frankly, if I say I'm a district court judge and I'm retired, I can get some doors open.
Right.
I'm not the attorney, and I make that clear. But I think that's helpful. So it depends. Each case is different, and I wouldn't assume to make any patterns about them. That I take them each as different and deal with them and help people on that, on whatever it is that they want to talk to me about.
Well, it's a great point, but I certainly from this perspective, it seems as though they're much better off with you by their side supporting them than if you were not in the courtroom, not just for the patients themselves, but also for the entire group that are represented within the courtroom. And hopefully we'll see that continue. So thank you for all the great work that you're doing. Olivia, again, talk to us in terms of advice, right? So if somebody is in a position and they feel like they need some help, where do they start? Like going to Horizons, reaching out to Judge Jay Bryan, what's that starting position for them?
Well, I would definitely agree that Judge Bryan is one to have on your side. Horizons has definitely been my saving grace. I guess, you know, just know your resources. Get online. Look up Horizons. You know, they're on there. You know, you can contact them. Maybe getting a case manager to help you find those resources that you may not be able to find on your own. But Horizons is definitely the way to go. They have been my success story, part of it, you know, and what got me going in my road to recovery, which I'm so grateful for. I have so much gratitude. It can't even be expressed in words. But yeah, Horizons is definitely something that it's out there. It's not hidden. You know, if you just get online and look it up, it's right there. So, yeah.
Well, listen, I want to say thank you for being so courageous today and coming on and telling us your story and all the wonderful work that you're doing and continuing to to heal, if you will. And so thank you for all of that. Judge Jay Bryan, thank you for all the work that you continue to do in making the courtrooms a better place and really helping folks understand the critical importance that needs to be addressed in terms of substance abuse, education, and compassion, right, with these folks. And I think if we do more of that across the board, our community certainly will be a much better place and more people will have their needs met in terms of those outstanding issues. So thank you both for being here again. If you'd like to find out more, it's UNC Horizons is the organization. It's also Judge Jay Bryan Consulting and Mediation. Again, you can find both of those easily on the web. And as always, we thank you for listening to Talk of the Town right here on 97.9 The Hill. I'm Jeremy Salemson, and we'll see you next week.
I feel like recovery just gives me a chance at a better life. It is a new beginning, an end to what lies behind, and it gives me a chance to see what lies ahead, and it's actually exciting to me now, instead of worrying every day and just not being happy. It's a chance at happiness and being a better mother.
This has been Talk of the Town with Jeremy Salemson. Tune in next time for conversations with local folks with a commitment to making our part of the world a better place. Listen to this episode and more on demand at chapelboro.com.